I got to experience this. They had a festival on where they do fireworks, and fireworks are technically illegal except on days when when they're not.
Everyone turns a blind eye, right?
Pretty much. Yeah. And it's kind of funny, but that was one of the best days of my life when we got to set off fireworks. I know, wow. It's just like every boy's dream to blow things up.
Welcome to Justice Matters, the podcast inspiring a world where everyone belongs. I'm your host, Tim Buxton.
Hey there, guys. Welcome to the Justice Matters podcast. This is the last episode for season two, and it has been such a hoot. 2021 is coming to a close, and I had the privilege for this final episode of sitting down with the producer of the show, the one and only Jared Bell. And he came into the studio. He works, or he is the founder of Walk a Mile Media. You get to learn a bit about why it's called Walk a Mile Media. Beautiful, beautiful name and great, powerful meaning. But we not only sit down and learn about his work, we learn about also his experiences living in Thailand, working for an anti-trafficking organization over there, along with his wife, Alison. And it just was so, it was fitting, I think, to end the season chatting with Jared, who has just done a phenomenal job this season. We've had a great chat. We were talking about things we learnt, some of the great things we enjoyed from this season, as well as some things that we hope to plan and talk about moving forward into season three. Can't believe 2022 is just around the corner. My kids are counting down the days to Christmas. This has probably landed in your inbox now, though, after Christmas, as we finish the year out. We're going to take a bit of a break for the month of January, and then we'll be back with some brand new episodes in February. That being said, though, we will probably run a couple of popular reruns throughout January just to keep you interested. And look, guys, if there's any way you want to reach out and let us know what you would like to have on the show moving forward in season three, please send me an email at hello@timothybuxton.com. Hello@timothybuxton.com. If you send me an email there and send me your feedback, I'd love to know how I can incorporate your requests and what you'd like to learn more about in the future. Well, thanks, guys, for tuning in so far, and have a wonderful new year and a great start to 2022. And let's continue to fight to make this world a better place for us all to live in. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Jared, welcome to the studio. It's this time inside.
Yeah,
the studio.
Yeah. Thanks, Tim. Thanks for having me here. I'm just down for the day. So, pop in and say hello.
And jump on a podcast, which you weren't expecting.
We weren't expecting that. It was just sort of a last-minute thing, testing out some gear and stuff. So, yeah.
So, for everyone that does not know, Jared, you are the master producer behind Season 2, which is fantastic. And I think it's great to be able to hear a bit about your story as well, because sure, you've got quite an interesting one. But and then we might have a bit of a chat at the end about what people are going to expect. Maybe some highlights from this season from you, because you've had to listen to every single episode. You're probably the only person out there that has listened to every episode. And then maybe some ideas of what we could do moving into season three, 2022.
Sure.
So Jared.
Yeah.
You're part of this kind of little media team that is now growing with You Belong, but you have your own company, Walk a Mile Media. Mm. So for people out there that want to produce their own podcasts or get some expert video production done, they can reach out to you. But you've been part of a team that was living actually overseas for quite some time. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your background and your journey to here
How do you want me to go back?
as far as you feel inclined to go.
I guess I started out doing video production 2007-ish.
Okay.
I actually got in with my brother. We actually started doing weddings. That was where we started. Yep. We had no idea what we're doing.
Really?
We just went, hey, let's give this a try. We thought video, oh, that'll be a nice cheap industry to jump into. Yeah, that's wrong. And so without never doing a wedding or anything like that, we just started offering weddings really cheap.
Yeah.
Bought some gear and did that for 3 years. But we were both working full-time jobs at the time, and it was Basically, I was doing all the editing. So you'd be out every Saturday night, for the wedding. And then I was editing every night of the week. and
oh my gosh.
The backlog. This is back in tape days too. So not only did you had to capture all the video to the computer in real time. So you got to press play and record it.
Oh.
So we did that for 3 years. We did 50 weddings exactly. And then we called it quits.
Wow.
So I kind of did a little bit of video stuff after that, but I didn't have a lot of work. But I did get in with this organization called Destiny Rescue. I was attending a church, and the pastor of the church actually left the church and started working as the national, the Australian head of Destiny Rescue.
Okay.
For those of you that don't know Destiny Rescue.
Yeah, tell us a bit about what Destiny Rescue does.
They mainly operate out of Thailand, but they do a few other countries, Cambodia and stuff. And their goal is to rescue children that are in sexual slavery, so prostitution. They've been sold into slavery by their family, or they've been kidnapped. And so these are all underage kids, and it's pretty prevalent over in those countries. Unfortunately, most of the causes of this are Western men. Mm. So he was heading up that, and he got me in to produce a promo for him. That's where I met Ashley, who works for You Belong Now. We hit it off. We got on really well straight away. Anyway, her and her husband ended up moving to Thailand and living there for a while. And I visited a few times with them. Actually, the first trip was a disaster.
I went
to do a promo with them. So I was supposed to be heading over with Troy was the person that was the head of the thing at the time. He pulled out a week before.
Oh, no.
I had never been overseas by myself before. So I'm heading to Thailand. I'm thinking a non-English speaking country. It wasn't that bad. But at the time, I had no idea. I'm freaking out. So I'm a little bit introverted with some things.
Yeah.
And so getting out of my comfort zone is not something I do very well. I have to push myself. So I did it. And I got there and we filmed some promos and stuff. And they ended up, without me knowing at the time, so this is in Chiang Rai in Thailand, for those of you who have ever been to Thailand, it's northern Thailand, about an hour or so from the border to Myanmar.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful city, loved it. So I was there for a few days. It was really hot. It was in March.
Yeah.
So they don't have blue sky at that time of year because it's all polluted. Smoke.
Oh, really?
Because a lot of burning.
Why is that? Oh, okay. Just from
not in Thailand.
Deforestation or
no. The farmers.
Oh, farmers.
Farmers burn off their rice paddy crops and stuff like that. And so for about 3 months a year during summer, you rarely see blue sky. It's just grey.
Wow.
And it's hot and it smells and it's not the nicest time of the year to be there. Anyway, halfway through the week, we end up going to this town called Pattaya. Have you heard of Pattaya?
I've not heard of Pattaya.
It's actually classed as the sex capital of the world because it's pretty much only reason is brothels.
Oh.
And it's on the coast, so it's down southeast of Bangkok.
Okay.
It's on the beach, horrible beach, but that's where basically all the it's quite a big city.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much where all the action
happens.
We'll call it action, but that's where all the bad stuff happens.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. It's in Bangkok. It's everywhere.
Sure.
But that's basically people only go to this town for one reason, for that.
Yeah.
Because it's not a nice place. Think of it like a surfer's paradise, but about a billion times sleazier. Mm. So I ended up there without them knowing. Like, let's talk about pushing me out of my comfort zone.
Sure, I could imagine.
This is like ridiculously out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
But I actually got sick. It was basically just like a flu, but it just made me miserable. And I'm just like, I don't want to be here anymore. It was awful. Anyway, we filmed some stuff there as much as we could. They go undercover. So these guys, I don't know how they do it, but they go undercover into bars and stuff. And they have to pretend to be customers. They obviously don't do anything beyond trying to befriend the girls.
Yeah.
But basically they've got to befriend the girls to get them to trust them before they can offer to get them out of that lifestyle. They can't just take them, that's kidnapping.
Yeah.
They've got to be willing to go and then we put them into care. They put them into care and they train them vacation, they give them vocational training.
Skills and training
to get a job. Outside that
industry.
Which is very hard because a lot of them have debts Their families have debts. That's why they end up in this thing, in this place. And it's very hard because even with all that, they actually earn more money doing that than they would for doing a normal job. So getting them out of that and putting them into a standard, a normal job, especially in a place like Thailand, which is not third world, it's a second world country. They're still don't earn a lot of money.
Yeah, and they're not obviously got prior education for the most part, and no, so
they're all from villages,
starting from scratch anyway.
Exactly. So we give them education, and then we give them some training in certain areas. They the Destiny Rescue for a while had a cafe and a hairdresser. Hairdressing was very big, a salon. I don't think they're. I haven't really been part of Destiny Rescue for a few years now, so I'm not sure exactly what.
What's going on now? Yeah.
I think they're rescuing kids and then they're using other organizations to do the aftercare stuff. The aftercare stuff is to do both was pretty hard. Because it just requires so much support, and I think it was a struggle to get enough support to do both sides of the coin, basically.
Yeah, of course. And when you think about it, it's not just rescue and aftercare. To go full circle, you're thinking, well, how do we prevent this from happening in the first place? So there's so many places you could intersect or engage in this kind of work to stop it.
I actually work for another organization called Project Justice International. Okay. I mainly work on their website because it's another side of my business. And they deal with more of the prevention stuff. So they go to villages, they teach the kids about...
Being
proactive in the families against these people that come in and take them and stuff like that. But they also train them and teach them skills. While most of these child slaves are girls, there are boys as well. So
of course.
They do a lot of with the boys as well in teaching them how to do like metalwork and carpentry and all this kind of stuff, building stuff, concreting, stuff that they can get employment for, which can help support their families so they don't have to have this. So
exactly.
There's lots of
education and empowerment training is the key, isn't it, really, at the end of the day?
That's right.
Kids need to be in school.
They do.
They don't need to be working as a child, you know, like we don't expect our kids until they're like 14, 15 maybe to get a part-time job at McDonald's, you know, but to focus on their education because it's so important.
Absolutely. So anyway, that was my first trip. My second trip, I ended up going over there with actually a schoolies trip. And it was actually...
So schoolies, okay, this is for our US and international. It's like you've graduated high school and a lot of people, you know, kind of like spring break. You've finished school and you just go party for a week.
Yep.
And usually it's quite a debaucherous thing to do, but there's a group of... there's tons of groups that actually do like adventure trips or humanitarian trips. And so I guess you went on one that was a group of kids, good kids, I guess, that wanted to make a difference with their.
Yeah. So I was going over there to film part of their trip for more promotional so they could promote it in future years. And, you know, I'm 42. So this was 10 years ago. So, you know, I'm still way older than everybody in the group, but we had a blast and I was only there for the first half of the week with them. We're in Cambodia and I had a blast. And then I ended up going to Chiang Rai again. And this time we did some more filming, but there was a larger group there and we volunteers this time. And I think, and Ashley was there this time. Okay. She wasn't there the first time. And so we just had a great time. And I got to experience this, they had a festival on where they do fireworks, and fireworks are technically illegal except on days when they're not.
Everyone turns a blind eye, right?
Pretty much. Yeah. And it's kind of funny, but that was one of the best days of my life when we got to set off fireworks. Wow. I know, it's just like every boy's dream to blow things up. I had so much fun. Anyway, I had such a better time this time.
Yeah.
And I said to Ashley on the last day that we were filming, I said, oh, have you guys thought about having someone over here? And they go, actually, we've talked about it. And I said, let me go back and we'll talk to my wife and we'll see what happens. And I'll see if we come over. And she's like, okay. So I was actually also working for Destiny Rescue in Australia a day a week, producing promo stuff.
Okay.
But the problem is you're not getting any of the on-ground stuff over there. And they didn't have the equipment or personal people to do that and do it well. So we were producing stuff in Australia, but it was all basically Australians doing talking heads, promoting stuff.
Yeah.
But we didn't really have any content from Thailand, from Asia. And I got back to Australia and I said, like, basically the first hour I got back talking to my wife, and I said, what do you think about moving to Thailand? She said, yes.
Straight away.
She's like, yep.
How crazy is that?
So 3 months later, we were living with a friend at the time who was...
Was she expecting you to ask her? It was just, she just, well, out of the blue, you say, let's go to Thailand. And she's like, sure.
Yeah. 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 So I personally, I think that was a God thing.
Yeah.
She told me later that she really wanted to, I guess she was kind of feeling a little bit.
Left out?
No, well, not left out, but she works in childcare.
Mm.
And she just, I think she said that she'd been wanting something. She'd been praying for something to get out of this sort of rut of mundane work that she was doing. And so her heart just leapt when I said it to her, and she was like, yes. And so we were living with a friend at the time, so we didn't have any
it was mortgage his house or anything like that to worry
exactly.
about.
Exactly. So And we had been living with him to try and get out of debt. We had some debt that we were trying to get rid of, and we had done that. So we had nothing besides a car to sell. So we put some furniture in storage and stuff like that, but sold our car. And
how awesome is that?
12 months in Thailand. Great, great, fantastic year, amazing year. Now, it wasn't all sweet.
I could imagine, yeah.
I coped with it probably better than my wife. Got a little bit more homesick than I did, and she actually got pretty sick. She actually has sinus issues.
Oh.
And we got there in March, like I said before.
Smoke.
Cloud. So she was in pain a lot for the first 3 months until the storms came and we started getting, and then it was a lot better. But yeah, but great year. We did a lot. I did a lot of traveling to Cambodia and around Thailand, and living over there is an adventure. It wasn't like we were living in a small village. Chiang Rai is a city.
Mm.
They have a McDonald's, they have a cinema where you can go see English movies, you know. It was not, when people think of missionaries and stuff like that, they think they're going into the deepest jungle somewhere and stuff like that. I didn't say we were exactly missionaries as such. Now, you've come from a missionary background.
Yeah.
So it's probably a little different to that.
Yeah, when I grew up in Indonesia, my parents were definitely very much
living
in that jungle, kind of the epitome of, the Dani tribe in the highlands of New Guinea. So
exactly.
But, I can understand where you're coming from.
It was not like that. We were living in a house with other people. There were other people living in the house. But, we had
a job to do. You were there to produce videos for an organization.
And we were being paid. There wasn't exactly – it's cheap to live over there, honestly.
Yeah.
So we didn't have to earn much. We had some support from Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Some people supported us and stuff. But, we had a car to drive around in. Mm. Most people had bikes. My wife doesn't drive, so we had to actually get a vehicle. Mm. But that worked out well. We had an older ute, but it was great. So it was good.
Man. And so you did that for a year. What year was that?
2013, 2014.
Okay.
So we crossed over 2 years in that, over 1 year.
Yeah.
Into a new year with that. So it came to 12 months and we weren't feeling called to stay.
Mm-hmm.
So we came back to Australia and, I've been back a couple of times, since then. There was two other visits. I was planning to go regularly, but that kind of didn't work. And then they got someone else in to start to producing their videos who was living there. And so, that kind of, I guess we went our separate ways in some ways and stuff like that, but that's okay. I had a passion for working with. I know you said you don't like the word non-profits.
Yes,
I listen. charities and stuff like that. So my business mainly focuses on small businesses and like non-profits, and I do a lot of churches stuff as well.
Yeah.
Because I'm by myself, I'm a sole trader.
Yeah.
I work with a girl called Tracy. I work with Walk a Mile Media. She has Walk a Mile Creative.
Oh, I love that.
So we started Walk a Mile Media together, but we're not a partnership in terms of a partnership, because my role actually requires a lot more work.
Yeah.
So we couldn't split things 50-50. So we created two different businesses that are like sister
companies. So cool.
So she has that, and she focuses mainly on her stuff. So I subcontract her in to do stuff, and she subcontracts me for her clients. But she's working for you guys now.
I know. We've got her coming on, helping us with all the social media, SEO stuff, which is how she kind of helps you with a lot of stuff.
Here. Exactly. So she was in Thailand with me. So, we're the only two Australians in our little media team.
Yeah.
I was telling you earlier. And we became great friends. We worked opposite each other. She was her desk faced
hilarious.
Mine. Because
she would have been so much fun to work opposite. She's cool.
So it was a bunch of mainly American people they had recruited into there for their graphic designers and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was just us two little Aussies. So, you know, we'd be like, oh, those Americans. There was, your wife is American, so you know that even though we're both Western countries, there is still cultural differences between our two countries.
Oh, yeah.
You live there. Yeah. I've been to America before, but I'll have a lot of American friends, and I definitely know there's definitely cultural differences between our two countries.
There's so big differences. I mean, people just don't realize. I mean, even America itself, right?
Yeah.
The Northwest
and the South.
Versus the South, versus the Northeast versus, the West or Midwest or whatever you want to. You know, there's so much diversity within America itself.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
So sometimes we'd have a little bit of a clash of cultures sometimes, but generally we got along pretty well.
Yeah.
So it was cool. And I'm still friends with all of them as well, so it's pretty cool.
Day in the life of my home, right? There's sometimes a little clash of cultures, but generally we need each other. We do. Mate, and it's kind of fun that you've got this little reformation of a team again of Ashley, yourself and Tracy, who did a lot of historical work together, but just get on so well and get each other and enjoy working together. So it's kind of a treat for you along to kind of somehow landed all three of you in different ways.
And I'm learning so much because I really didn't think much about like refugee crisis and all this stuff before that. It's so easy to get stuck in your little bubble.
Sure.
And like even before I started working for Destiny Rescue, it was funny that, like, I had no interest in Asia at all.
Mm.
I'm like, I never want to go to Asia. I don't care about Asia. Mm. I want to go to America. I want to go to Europe, you know. That's mainly holiday kind of vibe. But
yeah,
I had no interest in Asia. I love Asia now.
Mm.
It's, like, one of my favorite places. Yeah, like you said, you grew up in Indonesia and – did you say that?
And New Guinea,
And stuff. So you know what Asian culture is like. I mean, it's slightly different from
hospitable, loving, gentle,
people.
Kind people. Yeah.
Exactly. And now I think it's great because I'm learning about this, about the refugees and how amazing these people are that I really hadn't thought about before.
Yeah.
And so I love that this podcast is out there because I'm encouraging people to listen to it.
Mm.
I'm producing it and I'm telling people about you got Justice Matters, which is not technically all about like refugees.
No.
You do a lot of different things.
Yeah.
The first one you got to me to edit was, I can't remember his name. It was a two-part episode. The guy that goes to the Antarctic.
Jeff Wilson. Yes.
Oh my goodness. It just blew my mind.
Wow.
What a story. What a story. He's talking about after the tsunami.
In Banda Aceh.
And him traveling, hiking by himself through the coldest temperatures you could ever imagine.
Yeah.
I'm like, what a man.
Yeah. I mean, speaking about the episodes you've just been editing, Jeff Wilson's obviously a standout. Mm. When you think about, the various different topics we had, is there any other ones that kind of spring to mind that kind of...
Yes. I'm so bad with names.
Is it...
the guy that used to live in South America.
Eduardo Cruz.
What a cool guy.
Yes. Story. That
he's
was
got
phenomenal.
Some great stories.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I love stories. So... As someone that does video,
yeah.
I love telling stories what I love doing. So I do stuff that doesn't require a lot of storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking with small businesses and
sure.
stuff. But the stuff that I really get excited about is when we actually have to tell a story.
Yeah.
About something.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah, no, that was a powerful story. I was thinking, I remember you. I sent this one episode to you and you were like, wow, that was really good. And it was the Susan Slotnick one. She went into
prisons.
Yes,
that was another one.
Yep. Yeah, I remember you commenting on that one. And that to me, I've even looked back on that one. I love doing Eduardo's interview. That was probably one of the easiest interviews for me to do because we just had such a great time.
He seemed like such a really easy person to chat to. Just so relaxed.
Yeah. Love it. Susan was a fellow New Yorker, so I kind of could understand a lot of what, you know, I knew. I've been to New Paltz where she lives, beautiful. Yep. And so I could picture myself almost in her city talking to her, even though we were talking over Zoom. Mm. But as you know, and as I share quite openly on this podcast, I'm very much driven by the heart of Jesus, who really did a lot of his work amongst the most outcasts of people. And one of those groups were the prisoners, you know, the people that most of us in society write off. They deserve to be in prison. Look what they've done. And Susan's like, you know, she was listening to these stories of these young boys, these young men that had done horrendous things that were pretty much on death row. There's no chance of them coming out. Yet in that place of complete, utter darkness, despair, depression, to go into a place like that, as Jesus said, where were you when you visited me in prison? Or did you go to those in prison and did you serve them and love them? And she was doing it for 25 years and just saw some incredible results.
Yeah, that was definitely an inspirational podcast, that episode, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, just when I was talking before about getting outside the comfort zone, that would definitely be outside my comfort zone.
Right.
But like I said, I found that when I have pushed myself out of my comfort zone, they've been they've created the best memories and for me and the best stories to tell. Mm. I won't go into a story of this, my time when I was in Cambodia and me and this guy were visiting. No.
Now you have to.
It's kind of a long one.
It's a long one. Okay, so we'll come you back in season three. We'll have we'll have Jared, the producer's episode. And we'll get you to do that. We'll get you to do that story.
Yeah, anyway, I was saying that was probably the most out of my comfort zone I've ever been in my life, just because of the situation we got ourselves into. It was not anything to do with Destiny Rescue or anything like that. We went off on our own little adventure for a couple of days.
Wow,
and
transformational.
Well. Just to a point that we had to – he was cool. Like he worked for Destiny Rescue. He's up the Sunshine Coast these days. He's a graphic designer. He's so laid back. He's a great guy. His name's Carl. Mm. He's so laid back with everything. He was just, it's all cool.
It's all fine.
And I'm just like, we're going to die.
Oh, my gosh.
We didn't. But
yeah,
man,
you're on the edge, man. You knew what it was to live.
It was such a great
for a split moment.
It's in hindsight, I'm like, these are the best. These are the memories that you remember. Yeah. I don't remember a lot of things.
Well, they're the stories to tell, aren't they? The crazy adventures of your life.
Anyway, since then, I haven't done. I've basically just been running my own business from home,
telling other people's stories as well
telling other people's stories.
Now,
And I'm super excited to be working with You Belong, telling more stories than, because there was a time when I wasn't doing a lot of storytelling because I was working mainly with doing promotional stuff for businesses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Human stories. Okay, so they might tell a story, but the human stories definitely speak to me more, and I enjoy telling the more human stories.
Now it's time to take a moment to thank those who make this podcast possible. Not only our wonderful patrons, but Jared Bell from Walk a Mile Media, who produces the show. Thank you so much. And now here's an advert from our sponsor, Freedom Broadband. Let me tell you about one of our partners, Freedom Broadband. They're an incredible profit-for-purpose business. Freedom Broadband is your all-in-one internet and telephone service provider, whether it's for your business or your home. Now, their internet connection and speeds are simply amazing, and they're in another league when it comes to the quality of their customer service. But here's what really sets them apart. When you switch to any of their services, they'll donate $5 every month to a nonprofit cause of your choice. As the founder of You Belong, an Australian-based nonprofit charity, one of the greatest challenges we face is fundraising. And I think I can speak for almost all leaders in the nonprofit world when I say that being able to have a residual income coming into your accounts to support your work is a dream come true.
And like most nonprofits, our work is dependent on the generous support of individuals and groups that share our passion to empower refugees to integrate and thrive here in Australia. But what that means is that we spend more time and energy looking for ways to raise support. And what I'd desperately love to be doing is spending that time and our limited resources developing and growing the many successful programs that we run. But here's where our friends at Freedom Broadband come in. You see, a few months back, I was on a 4G wireless connection at home through one of the largest phone and internet companies here in Australia. And each month I was nervous about going over our usage, getting a nasty bill at the end. And I was working on a lot of the podcasting and videos at home, and the speeds I was getting were just painfully debilitating. And I finally decided to give Freedom Broadband a call. And within 2 minutes, I was on the call with Graham completing my application. And within a week, I had completely switched over to their $79 a month unlimited plan. And I can tell you firsthand, the service has been phenomenal. And I have a direct line to their customer service team whenever I have a question or need assistance. And now the studio and office where I work has switched over to Freedom Broadband as well. We're on their business plan and we haven't looked back. And how cool is this? Little by little, connection by connection, Aussie-owned and locally run Freedom Broadband is now actively supporting the great work of nonprofits in communities all around Australia. Simply by switching your internet to Freedom Broadband, you can help transform the lives of those less fortunate. And that's why I love these guys. And get this, head to freedombroadband.com.au and quote Justice Matters on your application form, and they will donate $50 from the activation fee to support Justice Matters. That's going to enable us to continue this podcast and inspire the world where everyone belongs. That's freedombroadband.com.au. Say goodbye to expensive, mediocre internet with poor customer service and hello to top-notch internet service and the good feeling of knowing you're supporting a great cause. Join Freedom Broadband today. Quote Justice Mattis and let's partner together with the internet that's helping to change the world.
Alrighty then, let's get back to the episode. So it's that, it for me, the coin come back into not liking the word nonprofit or even charity, to be honest. It just sounds so like I'm giving charity to somebody. This idea of having a social impact, like whatever we do, and it can be a business like Outland Denim or like Little Phil or other organizations that have their niche, your business is geared towards having a social impact by prioritizing the business that's making a difference. Businesses that are having an impact on there and amplifying their stories. So it doesn't matter what it is that you do. I think we all can realize now that we can use either our skills, our talents, our time, our resources to improve the world, to make it a better world, a more just, fair world, or we could use it to just be self-serving. And I know about you, but...
I mean, that's where when Tracy and I came up with the name for our business, which is Walk a Mile Media, it's from that saying.
Oh, I love that.
You never know, like, I'm going to misquote it now, but it's basically, you know, the saying where you don't know someone until you walk a mile in their shoes.
Ah, that's right.
Yeah, and that's basically it. And so our goal originally was to work with mainly nonprofits as well. Now, like I said, I work for small businesses because they're my bread and butter.
Yeah.
That keeps me going, keeps me
paying the bills. Small businesses employ so many people and are the heart and soul of.
So that's why that is. But that frees me up to then focus on doing. Because a lot of the organisations, they don't have a lot of money because they are supported by their supporters.
Donations and
stuff like that. So I work that into when we're talking costing and stuff like that. We really try to make it work for them so that they can they can get their message out, because production can cost a lot of money.
Oh mate, tell me about it. Mate, we've been so blessed by the work you've been doing already, and hopefully, speaking of the future moving forward, not only next year with season season three. Season two complete. Season three now getting ready to happen in well, we'll probably be launching some fresh episodes in February. So we'll take that month of January off. We might throw a special few reissues of some of the old classics from either season one or two. But what would you like to see? I mean, if as a listener, as someone who's probably generally curious as to who's I'm talking to next, what would you want it? Me to do more of?
I would say, like I said, the people that stood out to me that you've talked to are the ones that are telling stories.
Their stories. Yeah.
Love that. You know, especially people that, you know, live in other countries. I mean, and have that story to tell about their lives that we just don't understand in Australia. Mm. I think that's, I mean, for us, for me personally, until I actually visited overseas, I had no interest in Asia, but until I actually saw how people in Asia live and how the poverty around, you see images on TV and stuff like that. It seriously doesn't impact you the way it does when you're there. But if you can, images are one thing, but if you can have the story that that goes with that impacts your life and stuff like that, and you're thinking about things, they're the things that I personally like to hear. That doesn't mean that other people don't have things to say, but
let's get some more let people with lived experience, I guess you're saying, people that have
and can pass on their knowledge and stuff to the listeners as well. Through that lesson, I mean, we talked about Jesus before. How did he teach? Through parables. Now, which are basically stories, because that's how people learnt.
It's how we still learn today.
Are
you kidding me?
That's why the movie and the TV industry is so big, is because they're telling stories, because people want to hear stories.
You remember a story, you don't remember a lecture.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. So that would be what I like. Now, not everyone has a story about
something dramatic.
And stuff like that. That's okay.
Yeah.
I told a story about how I went and got sick in the first time I went to Thailand. Probably really not that exciting.
It was phenomenal. And what it was your taking a step out of your comfort zone and it having a profound impact on your life.
Yeah. I mean, if we talk about what this episode's about, it's probably stepping out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And if that can encourage someone to step out of their comfort zone to do something about anything, then that was worth talking about.
Yeah, 100%. Well, Jared, it's just so great to have the producer, the man behind the scenes, with the cameras pointing at them and the mics
being on this side of the camera.
But I'm just so glad to have to introduce everyone and all the listeners and out there subscribers to you, and if they want to learn more about you, Walk a Mile Media, you do a vast array of services within the media industry. So it's not just video. You said you did websites. Websites as well. So if you're listening and you need a quote and someone to help you out, you got some spare time if we don't keep you too busy, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're just about to break for Christmas.
Yep.
This is Christmas this week.
It is.
Pretty busy. In the new year is always pretty quiet. So, you know,
so reach out. Let's get this one out hopefully we can drop this one before the end of the year. So we're going to drop a few at a fast pace here, which is great to finish the year with a flurry. But Jared, it's been a pleasure having you on. And it's been a
pleasure being here.
You know, thanks to you, our cameras just got tweaked and upgraded. Not physically, but the software and the all the white balance and all those things that I was.
I taught him how to record from his watch.
Yeah, I've got a cool fancy watch. I can press stop on the record feature on my watch. How cool is that?
It's pretty cool.
So good.
What a world we live in with technology. It's got its. It can be detrimental in a lot of ways, but man, it makes spreading the message
yeah
that much easier and that much better.
Well, look, usually I end the episode with an outro where I say, and thanks to all my patrons and thanks to Jared, the producer. Well, I'm going to do it live right now. Jared, thank you so much for producing this episode that you will be producing very soon. Thanks for producing this season. It's been great. Thank you also to all our patrons out there that do support this podcast. And you can jump on that by going to patreon.com/justicematters. Any amount can really help on a monthly basis to help us keep producing this podcast. There's ways you can learn about us on YouTube. So if you're listening to this in your car or you're riding a bike or you're doing something, you're running and you're listening to my voice, I pity you. But anyway, regardless of that, you actually can go home and if you want to check the video podcast out, we're on YouTube as well. So Justice Matters TV. So anyways, I think that's it for today. And Jared, thanks again.
Pleasure. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Justice Matters. I'd also like to shout out to the Patreon community that financially supports this podcast. Guys, thank you so much for your support. And you can join them simply by going to patreon.com/justicematters, where a simple donation of $5 a month, you can become part of the Patreon community and get access to behind-the-scenes content and extras that I share just with you. And lastly, there is another really important way that you can help support the podcast, and that's simply by rating it or leaving a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, maybe by subscribing on YouTube. Yes, we are a video podcast as well. Guys, thank you so much for listening in to this episode of Justice Matters. Please come again soon. I can't wait to share more episodes with you. Thank you so much. I'm your host, Tim Buxton. Thanks for listening.